Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Guys, we're all living our best lives. As always, this year continues to be what it promised at the beginning. Dog shit. Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith. Okay, here we go. We're recording. Great. Well, let's try and make this interesting. I don't know about the rest of you, but this week's been full on, frenetic, non-stop. I mean, back to back, just absolutely, just... How's your week been, Maureen? Talk to me.
I've had a busy week. I was filming my documentary. I'm having a documentary made about myself.
Okay, back up. So here we go. Now the fun started. I was going to try and make the fact that I've done nothing fun, but I've run out of steam. We've done that joke for 6 weeks in a row, and that joke's dead now. Brister, let that joke go, and let's try and find another joke. So we're moving swiftly to you, Maureen, who has news. Maureen Younger, please explain to us what has been happening to you.
Well, I've had some guys who saw me at Top Secret. They're big fans.
Explain what Top Secret is.
Oh, Top Secret Comedy Club. Sorry, they saw me. They saw my show. They're documentary filmmakers. They're really good. I've watched their stuff online, and they want to make a documentary about me and also about comics and how we're dealing with the corona crisis, you know, and the fact that we can't perform live anymore. So we did some filming for that in Top Secret, yes, on Friday, which was good.
What they really should do is just have shots going in from comedians' windows and just seeing us crying in our living room. That's the documentary.
And the other thing is I had a German corporate this week, so I had to brush up my German and had to do some translating and some speaking on Deutsch sprechen.
Wow, Maureen. Wow. Busy.
Busy for once in a year.
I mean,
that's not true.
Even vaguely true, Maureen. Every time I talk to you, you've got something on. I mean, I don't know many comedians that have tried to create as much work as you have out of, frankly, thin air. So I'm not going to let you be negative, Maureen, because for a start, if anyone's going to be negative in this trio, it's going to be this Lezza. So
I do admit that.
You buck up your ideas and you remain optimistic. Well, more optimistic than me. But I think, frankly, that's brilliant news and I can't wait to see it. The Maureen Younger documentary.
Hopefully you're going to be part of it, aren't you? We're going to try and... I haven't told you this. We're going to try and film your interview on Monday. You don't know about that yet.
I didn't know about that.
But you do now.
Now I do. Hey, if anything, it means we've got something to talk about next week. So, Alison, let's talk about you. What's been happening with you this week?
Well, I'm not having a documentary made about myself, number one. But if there was a documentary to be made about me, this week... episode would be very exciting because it's all about fairy lights and how many fairy lights can I fit in my house because I'm Christmas decorating. The other thing I've established is that when it comes to fairy lights, everyone, what you want is a plug-in fairy light. You don't want to be messing around with effing batteries. This is what I've learned week one of fairy lights.
Of course. And also, let's talk about the environmental impact of constantly using batteries and also those fairy lights. You know, you can't replace the bulbs. You know, they when they die, they die. And then where does it go? A landfill, Alison. And again, our carbon footprint on this podcast, as we know, is very low, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, because I have no children, so that helps a lot.
Neither do I.
Oh, God. I'm absolutely nailed, mate.
You're the guilty one there. Can I just say, Alison, you can never have too many lights, too many
I appreciate
lights.
That, Maureen. I agree. But what happened, the reason why I'm so into fairy lights, oh, this is a positive thing. So in my community this year, never happened before, they're doing a Christmas walk. So there's enough kids now in this neighborhood that a woman has arranged, if you have lights outside of your house, we're going to give you a letter, and they want to do like a letter scavenger hunt so kids can like seek out a word, or and then they walk around and look at all the lights at night. So I was like, yes, I want to be a part of that. So I've also purchased a reindeer that sticks to the window with a backdrop
lovely.
To it, so it looks like the reindeer smashing out of our front window, because I thought that would be really fun.
That is amazing.
Alison, mm-hmm. if you put lights, I mean, I don't do it because I'm too mean with money, but I love it when people put lights outside the house.
I have two trees outside, so I have trees on either side of the reindeer. I've put lights outside, and then our big window up top, because it goes right outside, although the lights are inside, it looks like they're outside, and I'm going to get hanging ones, so they have the hanging, you know, the ones that... Oh, I'm so excited, guys. This is my life right now. This is my life.
Oh, my God. This is like a National Lampoon's Vacation. Kind of. Do you remember that when
yes.
Chevy Chase was stapling, you know, bulbs to the side of the house, and we as British people were going, what on earth is this? And then now we're like, yeah, get the lights up.
Oh, exactly. No, I love how we've got a house down the road that does it from November, but I love all those houses that put all those lights out outside. I think it's gorgeous.
I did a gig on Saturday in Twickenham, and the street that I parked my car on, almost every single house, very middle class area, in case you don't know where Twickenham is, it's in
Twickenham.
Twickenham. It's Middlesex. I mean, Middlesex doesn't exist, but anyway. Every single house pretty much had lights outside their house, and it was glorious.
Mm-hmm.
It looked absolutely incredible. Some people had these slightly blue lights, and their orange lights, and their colourful lights. And even me, the bar humbug of Les's, went, that is lush. I'm into
pretty.
It. It looked great. I was, and the only thing I thought was, if the kids were here, they'd literally lose their mind. I got stuck in traffic with the kids yesterday, and I was like, oh, this is a nightmare. Basically, everywhere in Brighton that is near me, they're doing roadworks, and it's a complete nightmare. I'm constantly in some sort of bottleneck. And the only way I could get through this was to go, kids, let's see how many Christmas lights we can spot. And the most depressing display of lights that you've ever seen anywhere was on show. And the kids were like, Mother, I can see a little pink light in the distance. I didn't want to tell him that was an aeroplane. I said, look, isn't it incredible? All of this Christmas lights, and that distracted them for 30 minutes. And I'm very grateful to anyone who puts their lights outside the house, because children dig it. They love it. Particularly when there's like a Rudolph or something. Oh my God. If they see a red nose, their heads explode because they think it is Rudolph.
Mm-hmm. That's ours.
It's like Rudolph gets around. We went to, I'll tell you, here's something that we did this week. So we took the children to Santa's Grotto, right? Now, I don't know what you remember about Santa's Grotto. Did you do something like that when you were a child?
I can't really remember. We probably didn't.
Sorry, when you go into a Santa's Grotto, what is that exactly?
You meet Santa. It's usually in a shopping centre.
Yeah, yes.
Your kids go, you meet Santa. Santa gives you, I mean, now you get a present. When I was a kid, there was no present. You just met Santa and then you fucked off. But it was free. Okay, so Santa would go, ho, 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 you can have whatever you want. I'll get it for you. And then, of course, your parents are like, fuck that prick. You're just getting what I bought. I took my kids to see Santa Claus. Here's the thing. We went to a garden centre. How much do you think it was to see Father Christmas?
Five for each?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to say 15 each.
Yeah. About that.
Mm-hmm. What?
Mm-hmm. What?
For a gift and to pay Santa. And there's probably elves working there too. And they've put up lights probably all over the grotto,
what
right?
What was the gift if it's 15
Well, quid? It was for six-year-olds. And it was one of the most complicated things you've ever seen. It was like, hey, builder, you needed a spanner. You needed a screwdriver. You needed a degree in engineering. Chloe and I, they both got the same gift. I was like, I would have paid 30 quid for you not to get this gift. Because now we have to build the bloody thing. The whole thing was, and also Father Christmas, no offence, but if you are a beanpole, put something under your jumper to make you look vaguely fat. The skinniest, frailest looking Father Christmas I've ever seen. I was like, mate, he's supposed to be jolly and fat and you're a beanpole. And he was like, ho, 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 Father Christmas here. What do you want? Yes, okay, that sounds fine. All right, cheerio then. Like, make an effort, mate. I mean, like...
really. And I had to, there was part of me that wanted to go ho, ho, ho under my breath just to go do the ho, ho, ho thing, because that's what they think Father Christmas says. So we spent like 30 quid. It was underwhelming, right? We were there for like about 4 minutes, if that. And then we left. I mean, the kids loved it, to be fair. But I just thought that is, and also, but that is such a, I tell you the reason why. One, okay, we can afford that money, so that's fine. Okay, we paid the money, we can afford it. But for children whose parents are like really struggling this Christmas, and they're like, I'd love to take my kids to go and see Santa Claus, and it used to be free. You go and see Father Christmas, Father Christmas go, oh, I hope you get everything you want for Christmas, and then you fuck off again. 30 quid, 15 quid to take your kid to go and see Father Christmas for 4 minutes. I was like, you've missed the spirit of Christmas, mate. You've missed it. Fundamentally, this goes against Father Christmas. And I'm writing a strongly worded letter to Lapland about this. But anyway, the kids loved it.
Jen, did that get your goat?
We started with Jen's goat.
I mean, usually we do 12 Beemore Maureens before we get to Beemore Maureen, but this week...
Fair play, fair play.
So is this standard? I'm sure there's some free Santas. I'm sure there's a Santa somewhere outside of an Iceland. Kids.
I really hope so. If not, I'm going to dress up as Father Christmas, put something under my jumper, put on a beard, or just don't shave.
Not pluck
for 6 months. And my mum always used to tell me to bleach my moustache anyway. I'll just bleach the beard and go full. I'll probably look more like Colonel Sanders than Father Christmas, but whatever. The point is, I'll be in character. And if, do you know what, Maureen? When I'm in character, I really commit. Okay, great. Thank you, Maureen. And thank you, Alison. Your weeks sound dynamite. My week, less so. But now it's time to head over to Maureen Younger to find out how she has been more Maureen.
I'm going to close my internet.
Don't close your internet, Maureen.
I meant my email.
Maureen switches it off at the wall.
I haven't put any makeup on.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Maureen, it's a podcast. Get a grip. We might have to push your boundaries out of it, okay?
This is a short, sweet story. I had to have a mammogram, which I think, Alison, you had recently as well. It must be the
I had my first.
Season.
Yeah, it is the season of mammograms.
Season of mammograms. But I don't know about you, like, before I used to go to hospital, now I'm in a blinking caravan in a car park in Asda.
Just you getting a mammogram in a car park is the funniest image. And I said to Maureen, are you sure it was a mammogram? And it wasn't just someone with a van. I mean, come on in. I'll clamp your tit. I'll tell you what's wrong.
Well, you'd have to pay me for that. It's really, I don't know about you, but I because I put on weight, I thought my boobs have got bigger, so I thought it would be less painful. Yeah, I think it's really, I love the fact they put it in a really squeeze it, put you in a really uncomfortable position and go, can you just hold that for a second? You're like, yeah, really, really enjoying this. Anyways, the short story was, it's because it's in the car park in Asda, I thought I'd do some Christmas shopping. So obviously got my bag, put my book in so I could read it on the bus, bought some water so I could have a drink on the bus. Got to Asda and realised the one thing I'd forgotten to bring was my purse. So it was a very short Christmas shopping trip, very cheap.
Wow, very cheap, Maureen. And how long have I been telling you to go to Asda? I've been saying, Maureen, get to Asda, it's so cheap.
Can I just say, Bailey's is only 12 quid a bottle there.
Yeah.
Well, I got it for tenner.
Did you?
Yeah, a litre, £10, Jen. Asda.
Wow.
Jen is pretty smug with her look right now.
Yeah. I got me 2 bottles of Baileys. I got me 2 bottles.
Have you two done that? It's just so annoying when you forget. Like, you forget the one thing. Obviously, we mentioned the fact that I forgot my book when I was doing a reading off my book. But, you know, when you forget that one thing that you need to... Like, I remembered everything else, but the one thing you need to bring, you forget.
A mask. Every single bloody time. I'm in the car driving to the supermarket going, oh, I've got this and this. And isn't it great? I've done click and collect. That's going to make it so much easier for me. And then I get to click and collect and I'm like, I haven't got a freaking mask. I have to drive all the way home to get a mask.
Do you know, I put a spare one in my pocket because I've done that so often.
I've done that too.
A spare one in the car. I put one in there. I did. The person that never puts anything anywhere, that's just completely random if I do anything correct. I put it in there and I said to Chloe, I phoned her, I went, I put a spare mask in the car. Do you know where it is? And she was like, oh, I used it and I didn't. And I was like, and you didn't replace it! Because when the person that forgets masks is me! Because I'm a complete prick! So, but I didn't let it affect our relationship.
Good. That's good. You're still together.
We're still together.
But it is annoying. I've had to go into another shop and buy a mask in order to go into another shop. I need to wear a mask.
That's what Chloe said. She said, go into Asda and buy a mask. I said, I can't get into Asda without a mask.
You see, like where I live in London, you can go into shops without masks. So I just go into one and
oh, I was going to say, I beg to differ. Up around here, there's just as many people without masks as there are with, which is annoying.
Well, I mean, look, there are people without masks, but I mean, I'll be
honest
with
you. You are not one of them.
When I see those people, I am seething and full of judgment. Even when they're having an asthma attack in front of me and I'm like, still, mate, put a mask on. So I am just to because I cannot maintain my resentment of anti-mask wearing people if I then become an anti-mask person, even if it, albeit for 5 minutes. So I had to, on principle, drive all the way back. Yep. 15 minutes. It was a half an hour round trip with my mask. And I will do that, Maureen. Just so I can keep this bile inside me.
Be self-righteous, you mean?
And that self-righteous... How can I... I can't maintain that if I break my own rules. So that it was worth it for that.
Oh, so I can, because like I get really annoyed if people push in, but then I you know, if I push in, I'm fine about it.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen you do it, Maureen. I've seen you do it in a way that even I'm like, that is brazen.
Yeah, most people don't say anything, you see. That's what you've got to bet on.
No, they don't. That's the great thing about living in this country, is that all you get is a very, very, very angry look behind you. And when you've got your back to them, you can't see it. So it doesn't matter, does it, Maureen? That's what Maureen said to me. She was like, I said to her, those people are giving you evils. She went, well, I can't see them. I was like, oh, fine. Yeah, that's it.
I like it. I like that attitude. You're like, I'm irrelevant. It's irrelevant. I don't see them.
Well, Maureen, thank you very much for your Be More Maureen, as always. No surprises there. But actually, on this particular instance, when normally I put my head in my hands and go, what the F? I can only say, we've all been there.
Yeah.
Forgotten a purse. Yeah, that's a classic Be More Maureen. Alison, it's time for, Maureen, you will agree, our favourite part of the show. It is time to ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Oh, yes. Ask me. Give me your problems. It is the season of Christmas issues, so we are sticking to that theme. We've got another Christmas problem. Someone has written in, and this Christmas, as I'm sure a lot of people can relate to, they really have very little money, so they are kind of stressed because they're like, either it's no cost presents or I can't really do presents at all. They feel uncomfortable. They've never been in this situation before. So they're like, what do we do? And my first thought was, well, like, we all know what Christmas is about. I mean, how do you girls feel about presents? I mean, what's your take on Christmas gifting?
It's tricky, isn't it? Because I find that you can get completely carried away with Christmas.
Yes.
And I think you have to have arrangements with certain people and say, you don't need to do that. You don't need to buy me a present. That's absolutely fine. And I, particularly as an adult, I'm just like, children, fine. Buy the kids all the presents in the world. That's as it should be. That's what Christmas is about. But I think as adults, I'm just like, come on. If I really want something, I'll buy it.
You see, yeah. I like getting presents. I like unwrapping presents at Christmas.
So you enjoy that? You like to...
I enjoy that, unwrapping a present and getting what it is, often being disappointed. But, you know, I do enjoy that whole thing about, you know, giving presents. But it is a problematic, you know, money-wise. Also, there may not be a balance where certain friends have got more money than you have, and you kind of feel obliged that if they're spending that much, then I've got to spend that much. But I think among good friends, if you know, there may be things that you can do that you don't, that financially don't cost a lot. You know, make something.
Absolutely.
Or, I mean, you're probably discussing that.
Yeah, because people look forward to that, I guess. Like you said, the whole opening up something, you know, does make it feel like, I don't know, it's a part of Christmas morning for some people, or that whole experience. Yeah.
And also it's problematic because, I mean, I always seem to manage to get Jen exactly the wrong present that she doesn't want. Apart from the light for her computer, that was the only present that actually I think she's ever enjoyed that I've given
her. Well, I tell you the difference. Do you know what happened with that light thing? in compared to all the presents you've ever gotten me, is that you overheard me say, I really want a light. And Maureen said, she listened. Did you do that thing, Maureen, where you heard that and went, But prior to that gift, Maureen had thought, what would I like as a gift? And bought that for me. But listen, Maureen, may I say, you are very generous and I'm always very grateful to receive a gift from you. But equally, I just think if you are in a position where financially things are tricky for you, I have no expectation of that person to buy me anything or indeed anyone to buy me anything.
Well, that's the big thing. I think a big thing is a lot of gifts we tend to give or receive. I mean, 50% of them, I'm sure we can be like, could have done with, could have done without. So this is a big thing. So this year particularly, I just want people to know that, like, this year, everyone is going to be struggling a little bit. And quite frankly, if you have a friend who is so, or a family member that is so put out if at the idea of non-gift or lower, then, I mean, maybe it's time to reevaluate that person in your life. Anyway, I'm moving on. So this kind of brings me to my first big point. Don't plan the perfect Christmas when it comes to gifts. Plan what you can afford. Let's be honest, all right? So you look at your financial, what you've got, okay? And then I want to say, make a list and please stick to it, okay? Make a list, stick to it, give yourself price points with people because that's really important for you. How to maybe graciously tell someone you won't be giving gifts this year, okay? So let's start there. If you don't want to do gifts, which, hey, that's not what Christmas is about. So if you feel this year it's not a gift-giving year, here are some things I think you should do. I mean, try to talk to the people in your life as early as possible. Explain to them how this really will benefit everyone, right? If it's a non-gift year or if we're going lower gifts, it does help out everyone this year. Gather your supporters first. Who are the other people in your friends and family that also might be into the idea of not exchanging or going lower end? Keep your word. Don't say you're not going to give gifts, receive a gift, and then feel bad and give a gift. Don't do that. You have no guilt. There's no reason to feel guilty about it, right? You've made the decision. You've had the discussion. Maybe instead of like at offices, you know, I like that they always like to do Secret Santa. I mean, maybe you should just say, hey, why don't we contribute to some sort of, I don't know, we could volunteer somewhere. We could donate some time somewhere. Children, if you're like, oh, it won't be the same if we don't give the kids gifts. Well, maybe it's time to start a new Christmas tradition. Maybe you could do something like a gingerbread house making competition. The whole family gets on. You all showcase your gingerbread houses. You have a wonderful time together. I know Jen is looking at me like, don't you even show me your craft stuff. But I'm just saying, if people are broke, you know, we have the internet, you're probably going to do some, or have a show and tell Christmas party. Wouldn't that be nice? Kids get to make some crafts. And then you...
What's a show and tell Christmas
party? So what you could do is with your family or friends, you all have kids, and what you do is the week before, whatever, you start making crafts. Okay, kids, we've got the big art show coming up with the family. Kids can make things, then you could get on and they could have a little show and tell of the things they've made for Christmas. These are just ideas of things that may not cost money. Now, if you are still into the idea of presents but maybe low cost, here's a couple quick ideas. I loved these. Number one, ban all unnecessary gifts. So right away go, I'm not giving gifts to these people. And like I said, stick to it. Don't feel guilty. It is absolutely fine. Regifting. I know people are controversial about this, but I am a big fan of the re-gift. Re-gift, everyone. You've got stuff in your house that you've never used. The only thing that I'm going to say, and I know what Maureen is going to say, please try to remember where you received the original gift. That is very important. Do not re-gift back to somebody, which I know Maureen, she lit up and I was like, she's about to tell me a story where she has given back.
No, yeah. No, I got a gift back that I'd given to somebody.
Zero money gift ideas. Offer services. Okay? People can always use help in their life, whether it's running errands, maybe cleaning, maybe babysitting, offering to fix or help with something in their home at a later time once we're allowed to interact a bit more. There are always services you can offer people. Make a playlist for Christmas seasons. Perhaps you could give a playlist to somebody of some great Christmas songs. Plant cuttings. If you're a plant person, you can always make some cuttings and give out plants to people. Family history slideshow. Perhaps make something online that you could share with people. Some sort of slideshow, some sort of photo book. Baking jars. You can make little like, oh, bake this and give it to someone in a jar. It's just flour, marshmallows, whatever you want to bake. And then they have all the ingredients in that jar. It costs very little. Memory jar, maybe some pictures or items of things that bring back memories that you have shared with a person. A printable quote, put it in a frame that you may have, you could repaint, I don't know. And the last thing I want to recommend, Martin Lewis, Money Saver, he has a great thing called the Festival Fiver, and there is like a load of gift ideas for under $5. Some of them cost nothing at all. And I looked at the list. I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. There are so many things you can do for Christmas. It is about showing people love and affection. It is not about gifts. Please feel free to speak to people about this year. And if they don't understand, well, then you know what? You don't need to bother with them this year. That's so mean, but it's true. This year is a tricky one. So everyone remember, the spirit of Christmas is about love and sharing. It is not about the things that we get. That is my advice.
Alison, great suggestions there for people who might be struggling. Because do you know what? Sometimes you're like, I've got a certain amount of money. I'm going to spend all of that on my immediate family. But there are other people who I would love to give a gift, but financially, it's not viable. These are great suggestions. And you know what? For like, I actually think even something like babysitting, can I just say, as somebody with kids that never goes anywhere because we can't ever get a sitter, if you know somebody who has kids and you have some kind of relationship with those kids, or they know you, or you have some kind of relationship with that couple, obviously don't go up to a random couple and go, want me to babysit for your kids? That would be weird. I think not. I'm telling you now, if you said, listen, I'll give you one, two, whatever, free babysitting for you so that you can go out. Because it costs a fortune. So you're going to go out for dinner, plus you've got to spend like 40, 50 quid on a babysitter. They will be like, that is the best Christmas present ever. And it's free.
Yeah.
Great advice, Alison. Thank you very much. So we're moving so quickly through this podcast. We're just getting better at it. No? Okay. Leanne's like, you're not hearing what I'm hearing.
Leanne looks away.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What is the show called? Oh, yeah, I've got it. Women Talking Bollocks. Yeah. Okay. Is everyone happy with that? We're halfway through the podcast. It doesn't matter where we are in the podcast. And now it's time to find out what we've been watching on television this week. What has your dog been watching, Alison?
My dog right now is watching the front door. This is the thing. He's tiny, but he's mighty, and he lets us know when Amazon deliveries are at the door.
Has he got small dog complex?
He does have little dog syndrome. That's exactly it. Napoleon complex. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is. That's
Napoleon Pomeranian complex.
Yeah. What have you been watching? Maureen, let's go to you first.
Well, you can only watch this really on DVD. I've been watching The Sandbaggers, which was a really big hit series in the late 70s, early 80s. I loved it as a kid. It's like an early form of spook, so it's a spy show. But what I've noticed now that I'm watching it as an adult is that obviously it had a very limited budget. So a lot of the time it's men talking in suits in offices because obviously they couldn't really do the action scenes. But it's still quite interesting. You've got Neil Burnside, played by Roy Marsden, who's this kind of rather ruthless spy master. And then Ray Lonnan is like sandbagger number one, who was one of my little crushes when I was young. And Diane Keane's just popped in as the first woman to be a sandbagger. So it's off its day. It's all about the Cold War and Russia and everything. But it's kind of interesting watching stuff that you were a big fan of when you were a kid. And looking at the it a completely bags. Different way. The Sandbaggers. Yeah, it was a really big hit. And what was interesting, I found out that the guy who wrote it, they thought he must have been a spy because he got all the lingo right. And then he disappeared. He was on a flight over Alaska and the plane and him and his girlfriend and the pilot disappeared and they've never been found. So they think he might have still been a spy.
Oh, so...
Which is actually quite a good story, isn't it?
Yeah, that's I'm intrigued to find out more.
But if you want to watch it, you can. You'd have to get. It's not on. You'd have to pay for the DVDs, basically. But it's it's interesting.
But you can't get it on, like, say, you couldn't.
You can get it on YouTube as well. Yeah.
No, I didn't mean that. I mean, you couldn't pay for it, like, on a streaming
channel. No, I think you've got to buy the DVDs. So you've got to really commit before you've actually really seen it.
Right, you've got to dig out your DVD player because it's 2005 again. Okay, fine. Thanks, Maureen, for that. That was brilliant. I have been watching a series that we've already discussed on WTB, but let's go back into it. I've been watching The Crown. I know, Maureen, that you watched it in one sitting or two sittings.
Two sittings.
I allowed myself a couple of weeks to get through this particular series, and I did enjoy it. I started to, I think, enjoy it less as the series went on. I feel like I don't really know anything about the royal family because I'm just not interested in them. But I do feel like some of the ways they depict particular members of the royal family just seem completely fictional, which is fine because it is a dramatization. It's not a documentary. But I just, like, for whatever reason, they've decided to make Diana a saint. Okay, fine. You really love her in this series. You just think she's wonderful. And they've completely demonised Prince Charles, who I suspect was probably a bit of a prick. But I feel like I feel like the trouble with The Crown, because, and you might disagree with me, but because it is a dramatisation, it's not, nobody can really know what happened behind closed doors, and no one in the royal family has ever revealed anything that's happened. It's all, from the perspective of the person that's written it, that's going, this is the story we want to tell rather than what actually happened. I just feel like there are people watching it who think that
definitely.
Because it's kind of, because these people exist, it's depicted as if this, and I just, look, I mean, far be it from me to give a shit about Prince Charles, because I don't really, but I do feel like he has been really demonized in this series to the point where we're like, if it isn't true, that seems a bit unfair. That was my only feeling about watching the series, because I felt like Maureen felt different. You were slightly more even about the way you felt the depiction. But I felt like Prince Charles came across as a complete tosspot in this series 4, and really unlikable. And by the end of it, you're like, I just think that you are an entitled, venal, childish, spoilt prick, and I don't really give a shit about you. And Diana came across as a woman that was doing her best for her family, that was doing the best to keep the relationship together, that was doing the best to be a good a mother, and also be part of a family that she couldn't be part of. Now, I don't know if that's true, if that isn't. The way the series went out, I just feel like, if it isn't true, that's pretty awful. It's pretty awful.
I think you're right.
Because Camilla Parker Bowles has been getting death threats.
Has she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just feel like it's kind of irresponsible of Netflix not to put some kind of, I think, a disclaimer at the start of the series to say,
"Hey,
this
is fictional.
Listen, this is fiction. This is," and people, I mean, I'm sure the people that are making it are going, come on, everybody knows this is fiction. But genuinely, I don't think they do. And it's been proven that they don't. Because I think, you know, Prince Charles and Camilla Parker Bowles are receiving quite horrible things in the post and online and on all that sort of thing. And this isn't really even about the series, is it? I'm just talking about, well, it is, but it's not. I'm not talking about whether I enjoyed it or not. I did enjoy it. But that was just something I felt as I got to the end. I thought, oh, this feels a bit eggy.
In season three, they you really felt sorry for Charles. I didn't feel as bad about Charles in season four as you did, but I think that there is a danger that people will watch it and think, you know, this is word for word true. And when you do his, you know, films about royal families before, there's usually a distance, isn't there? Usually a big distance, so it doesn't really matter, in a sense, how you depict them. But if people are still alive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Yeah. This is current. This is the most current depiction of the royal family. And for people in other places, like, let's say, in North America, I mean, you know, in the United States, they elected Trump. Are they going to be able to detach and realize that this is fictional, or are they? Yeah, I don't know. I honestly was like really surprised that a documentary.
It's not a documentary.
That's the thing. It's not a documentary, Alison, because the royal family has actually made statements saying like, hey, this is not true, everyone.
I'm surprised they're allowed to do it, to get away with it.
Because the way that the showrunners have pitched it is that, oh, we're not saying this is true.
This is a drama.
This is a dramatization based on a family that exists. But the problem is, because they use things that actually have happened, like they did get married, they did divorce, he did have an affair with Camilla Parker Bowles, who he did eventually marry. She did have affairs with various other men whilst they were together. Mm-hmm. You know, these are things that are all true. So, but the conversations that happened between that couple.
Or the dynamics.
Or the dynamics, or the way they interacted. You know, I'm sure there were times that Diana probably said some pretty appalling things or whatever. Anyway, not that it matters, but the point is, if people are getting death threats, I think the series has a responsibility to address that. That was my feeling. And I'm off my soapbox.
I think also because, you know, they spent ages getting Camilla accepted as his wife and, you know, into the family. And now.
Yes. That's it. And now they've got to go, oh, Jesus Christ, we just made all that headway to get her accepted within the family and with the nation. And then this series four comes out and just undoes it all. But there we are. I don't even like the royal family. I'm a Republican. I'd like to get rid of them. But if they are there, let's be mindful that they are human beings, as hard as it is to wrap our heads around it.
Yeah.
I know. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Alison. Let's get on to horror. Let's from one horror story to another.
Well,
there we go.
You know, this horror movie is so believable. You'll be like, is this fiction? No, you will not. Don't worry, everyone. This is as far from reality as you can get. But Maureen, I chose this one because I thought you might have a little interest in it. This horror movie, again, I'm sticking with Christmas because there are many Christmas horror films. This week's choice is a horror film called Krampus. Which is, yes, a story about
character in Germany.
What happens when you give up on the Christmas spirit. So Krampus is kind of like a Saint Nick, but he is the evil one. So he will come and give you coal or take you away and kill you, basically, in this one. So it's the idea of when you abandon what is truly Christmas, which is, again, the idea of love and caring and sharing, not about gifts, what can happen. So in this tale, we follow a family and the German grandmother, who speaks German throughout the movie, which is why I thought, Maureen, you would love it, is the one who is wise to Krampus because she, as a child, experienced an interaction with him. So he's kind of been there throughout her whole life. And then this family, it basically is modern day. What happens when we forget the true spirit of Christmas? A little boy writes a letter to Santa saying, help me with this. And then people make fun of him. So he tears up the letter and is like, I don't even believe in Santa. I don't even believe in Christmas. Thus, Krampus comes. Now, it sounds like a childish story, but Krampus and this horror movie is actually terrifying. The first time I saw it, I was blown away at what a good job they did at depicting scary. Again, without gore, without, you know, I think you could probably watch this with the family. I mean, maybe not your kids. That's a bit young.
No, but I mean, they can't watch the Muppets Christmas Carol.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But if you got teenagers, I truly think Krampus is a great horror film. And Maureen, I do think you would enjoy it. There is a great amount of German in there.
Where can you see it?
It is currently running on Netflix.
Oh, I just Googled it and the picture is terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great Christmas horror film. Krampus.
I thought it was going to be a film that was a bit older. So I thought it might be slightly
No, this
80s.
Is current. This is current.
No, it's 2015. Yeah. Krampus. Great. Well, I don't think I'm going to look at that because I'm actually terrified by the poster, Alison. And now it's going to be Maureen's cultural corner. I haven't started it, Maureen.
Hello.
I'm going to start that again. Now it's time to move back towards Maureen Younger because she has a corner and I believe it's cultural.
It's cultural corner. Wow, you're doing really great segues today, Jen.
I don't know what it is. I'm nailing it.
So today's cultural corner is Frank Capra movies. I don't know if you're a big fan of Frank Capra. I love his movies. Absolutely love them. So I'm just going to do three of them. The first one is It Happened One Night from 1934. Have you seen that? It was with Clark Gable and Claudette Colbert. Have you seen it, Alison?
No.
Oh, it's a brilliant movie. And it was the first film to win all five major Oscars. So it won Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Actress and Best Screenplay. And the only other two films that have done that is One Flew Over the Cuckoo Nest and The Silence of the Lambs.
Well.
And what is brilliant is that none of the stars wanted to be in it. So Clark Gable was sent to another studio because he'd pissed off Louis B. Mayer. Claudette Colbert didn't want to do it. She was like, right, you've got to double my fee. Got to film it in 4 weeks because I'm off on holiday. And I don't even think she was there for the Oscars because she thought the film was rubbish. And it's quite an easy, I suppose, trite story. She plays this really feisty, spirited heiress who's eloped. Her father doesn't like it. He's kidnapped her. She escapes because she's quite feisty. She jumps off a ship, a yacht, as you would have it. And she's trying to get from Miami back to New York where she bumps into Clark Gable, who's this down on the hill journalist. And it's just about their trip going back up to New York. But it's really well done. And if you're into cinema, some really iconic scenes. So there's a scene where they're showing a bedroom, which, of course, in the 30s, you're not married, you're showing a bedroom. It's considered really outrageous. So they put a blanket between them. It's called The Walls of Jericho. And Cable at one point takes off his shirt and he didn't have a vest on. In those days, everybody wore a vest and everybody was so surprised, you know, was like taken aback. He didn't have a vest on that vest sales plummeted around the world.
People were like, forget this, forget vests.
Yeah, seriously. It was like Miami Vice when nobody wore socks in the 80s at one point. It had that effect. And there's another scene which is very famous when they're trying to hitch a lift and Clark Gable's trying to hitch a lift and she goes, let me deal with it. And she just goes on the road, lifts up her skirt a little and the first car stops. It's a really famous scene.
But it's
a really great movie. They're great together. There's lots of on-screen chemistry and it's a really enjoyable movie. So I definitely recommend it. It Happened One Night. And then the other reason why I like Capra, particularly if you're feeling a bit down at Christmas, is Capra gives you this idea that we all matter. It doesn't matter who you are, but in the grand scale of things, we all matter. So it's really great watching one of his movies if you're feeling a bit down. And the next one is Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, which was made in 1939. And it stars James Stewart. In fact, it made him a big star. And it's about this innocent young man who the politicians get him to be a senator because they think they can control him. And if you like, the films are like a pie, which is quite funny at the moment. Like it's like a homage to American democracy. So you've got to remember, 1939, most of Europe was under dictatorships. Democracy looked like it was on the way out. So it really, one of the main features is Abraham Lincoln Memorial, which must be very iconic for the average American. And it's all about how important democracy is and how important it is that we say everyone has a word, says their word. And so he gets manipulated. He gets framed because he doesn't go along with the corrupt politicians. And there's Jean Arthurs in it, who I don't know if you know her. She's an actress from the 30s and 40s. Fantastic actress. She was a bigger star in those days. And she's this kind of cynical Washington person. She knows Washington like the back of her hand. And there's this great iconic scene where at the monument, the Abraham Lincoln Monument, and he's going to give up. He's been framed. He looks corrupt. He feels defeated. And she's the one, she's the catalyst who encourages him to carry on with a good fight. And it's so well done. It's shot in black and white and shadow. And every time I watch that scene, I cry. It is so well done. It really is heartrending. And he goes back and there's this big scene, famous scene where there's a filibuster, which is a kind of thing that they have in America where you can just carry on talking and talking. And at one point he goes, "You think I'm licked? I'm not licked." And he basically wins the day. I mean, the ending is a bit pat, but it just shows you that everyone can make a difference. And obviously he's the everyman character in there because he's called Jefferson Smith. So Smith as in everyman, and Jefferson, of course, one of the founders of the American independence movement and American states. So, you know, anyone could be a Jefferson Smith, basically. Totally recommend it. James Stewart is amazing in it. So moving on, which you must have all seen, to the last film, which was It's a Wonderful Life from 1946. Have you seen it? You must have seen It's a Wonderful Life.
Absolutely.
Which, in my opinion, is the best Christmas movie ever. And it was actually a flop in its day. Everybody hated it. They thought it was depressing. Nobody went to watch it. And in fact, it was the last film that Capra made, and it almost, I think, bankrupted the studio. And it only became famous and popular because they didn't bother carrying on with the copyright. So which meant TV shows, TV companies could show it for free. They didn't have to pay anybody. And so they showed it all the time on American TV. And then people were going, "Oh, my God, this is an amazing film." What about you two guys? Were you big fans?
I watched it many
times. It's a Wonderful Life, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
I've seen it many times, and in the cinema I've gone to see it several times at Christmas as something.
I always cry. Who doesn't cry at the end? You've Priti Patel probably, but it's one of those things. It's a great film because it shows you that no matter how mundane you think your life is, we all matter. You know, we affect other people's lives in ways that we can't imagine. So the film plot hinges on the turmoil of its hero George Bailey, played by James Stewart, who becomes so desperate they contemplate suicide. Now, despite the theme, it is actually a very life-affirming movie. And what happens is he's a lot of money. He becomes his banker. He runs a local bank. Money goes missing thanks to his uncle. And he realises that he's worth more to his family if he kills himself than if he stays alive. And he tries to commit suicide, but he's stopped by Angel Second Class Clarence Oddbody, who then shows him what the world would be like if he hasn't lived. And though he's lived seemingly a very mundane life, it's actually very important. You know, he's actually saved people and helped people in ways that are unimaginable. And at the end, obviously, you will feel it's very heartwarming. It's a really great movie, very simple story. It's just on the right side of sentimentality. I absolutely love it. So if you've never seen it, do yourself a favour and watch it.
Thank you, Maureen. Three classic films to watch by Capra that you can I think you can probably get hold of quite easily on Amazon or indeed Netflix. I'm pretty sure they will have one, if not all of those movies. Thank you, Maureen Younger, for your suggestions and your contribution to this podcast. Never, ever come back. No, I'm kidding. I love you very much. I love you very much. And your corner has been cultured, and my corner has been cultured too.
Oh, my corner has been so cultured because of you, Maureen. I appreciate all your corner culturing.
I actually think as three women, I know exactly. I don't think three women can talk about having
their
corners. Yeah, it's actually making me feel quite sick.
Yeah, Jen, now that you're feeling sick about cultured corners, let's get into What's Got Jen's Goat?
What's got Jen's goat? What's got Jen's goat? The sting has changed again, that jingle.
It needs to be like a heavy metal, like guar, like Jen's goat, what's got it? That's what I want.
What's
got Jen's goat? What? What's got Jen's goat? What?
There we go. That's exactly it.
So I think increasingly as we get closer to Christmas, I'm realizing I just don't have enough time in the day. I think I can't express to you how short my days feel. And I know who to blame. And I tell you what's got my goat. I tell you what's got my goat, ladies. The fact that the schools shut at 3. I think it's appalling. Why aren't they shutting at 6? That would give me the 3 extra hours I need to get shit done. Listen, I can't get to like 1 o'clock in the afternoon and be like, well, I better quickly smash some food into my face. It gets to 1:30 and I'm like, Christ, it's nearly 2. 2 o'clock comes around. I'm like, it's an hour before I have to pick the kids up. And then the day is inevitably over. That's it. My day is over because the children are back and I can't get anything else done because they want to play whatever the F it is that they want to play. And the other thing that I has got my go is I think as parents, we have fallen down. Children need one toy. That's it. Find creative things to do with that one toy. Turns out, if they have every toy in the universe, I don't know what to do. I got nothing to play with. I'm bored. Right. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Is I'm going to put all of your toys in the dustbin. So, because there's two of them, they should be able to play together so I can carry on and get stuff done. Maybe cook something, put the washing out, send a couple of emails. But no, I have to sit with them and play whatever boring game they want to play with Playmobil or whatever it is. So that's what's got my goat. The days aren't long enough. The days are getting shorter, obviously, as we head inexorably towards the 21st of December, which is, as we know, the shortest day of the year. And that's it. That's it. My goat has been got. So I'm just going to put it out. I'm just going to put it out there into the ether. 6 p.m. Let's shut the schools a bit later. Yeah.
I suspect our producer might agree with you.
And also because of COVID, there's no after school clubs. So you can't go, you can do drama after school, or hey, I'll pick you up after you do gymnastics. No, now it's like, oh, 3 till 7. That
you
void.
Are the drama teacher. You are the gymnastics teacher. You are the, you do it, Jen.
You got it.
Yeah.
But obviously, Jen, you'd never put them in front of a screen, would you? You're not that type of parent.
I'm not the kind of person, actually, that would ever put my children in front of a screen. Can you imagine putting your children in front of a screen?
Listen, I'm doing an impression of somebody that said that to me once. And
can you imagine putting your children in front of a screen?
Yeah, I can. And I do it daily. Maureen Younger, Alison June Smith, and Leanne Cooper-Doop. What an absolute pleasure it has been. Once again, we're at the end of this podcast. Here are the announcements. Next week will be the final episode of Series 1. Please do join us. I know, the sadness, the drama, the blah, blah, blah. But the good news is we will have a very special guest. It will be an extended episode. It may go on for 45 to 46 minutes as opposed to 40. Hey, presto. That's the kind of extra you're getting on this podcast. And we're very delighted to bring on our guest. And we're going to keep it under wraps. It's a secret. But in the meantime, do like and subscribe. We'd like to thank everybody that has been kind enough to put a beautiful, lovely, generous post on Apple Podcasts to say that they're enjoying it. We read them all, don't we, ladies? We read them all.
I sure do.
And we are G'd and boyed by them. So what we're saying is, please, if you haven't, do. I mean, if you can't be bothered to write a review, just go 5 stars.
That's fine. We'll take that.
If you're like, I ain't got the time for this. Just 5. We'll take that, won't we?
If it's under 4, then you know what? You don't have the time. You're too busy. Just move on. No, don't bother.
I'm going to say 5.
I'm at 5s.
Okay. Thank you. Anyway, that's it. That's the end of the podcast. We'll see you next week. Bet.
Bye.
Bye.
Can I actually close that podcast off properly this week? Didn't we? Did you notice that? That's the first time we've done that. Women Talking Bollocks.
If you enjoyed today's episode,
then why not subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, like us, leave a wonderful message saying how much you enjoy our dulcet tones, particularly mine.
And you can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. It's WTB_podcast. Leave a nice comment. If you didn't really enjoy the show, then don't leave a comment. Just tell somebody you don't like very much to listen to the next one. And then we all win.
Will that do?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.